Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now, South Africa's property market is evolving and evolving quickly. Rising prices, tighter lending conditions, and changing lifestyle patterns are pushing more people towards something called shared property models. So whether it's friends renting together, siblings co-investing, or digital nomads all living under one roof. Co-leasing or co-investing and co-living fast becoming part of the new housing vocabulary. But while these arrangements, I imagine, offer affordability and decent access, they surely must bring legal, financial, and maybe even interpersonal complexity. So let's try and break all of this down. He's been a guest on our program before, the Chief Executive Officer of the Only Realty Property Group, Grant Smee. Welcome back to the program. So before we dive into the models, maybe just give me a sense of what is driving the shift towards these shared property arrangements in the first place. It must surely be principally about affordability.
Hi, Jeremy. Yeah, thanks. It definitely is. It's mostly affordability and then as a shared risk of first investing and also co-renting. So I think it's a combination of the two factors, as well as the opportunity to expand your portfolio easier using multiple streams of income to justify affordability.
And from what you've discerned, is it across all income brackets, or would conventional wisdom suggest maybe younger or even first-time buyers?
Certainly amongst younger first-time buyers, it is sort of predominantly in that segment, as well as older people that are looking to sort of not maybe end up in a retirement village, but look to co-own or co-share properties in that space. So I think it really sits either end of that middle ground, older buyers as well as younger investors.
All right, now let's try and split the difference between co-leasing and co-investing. And let's start with co-leasing. On paper, it sounds simple, people simply sharing rent. But in your opinion, in your experience, where would these agreements potentially go wrong?
So I think where most things go wrong, and certainly these do go wrong, is where the shared responsibility of that lease agreement, which is a legally binding document, is not sort of fully explored before entering into that agreement. And when somebody wants to change the circumstance, change responsibilities, or in fact exit that agreement, that hasn't been dealt with properly. So that certainly is where it falls apart, where expectations differ between the parties.
And the common disputes, I imagine, would be things like an early exit, someone wants to go and pursue something different, or maybe even damage to that property.
Yeah, absolutely. The financial obligations, certainly how that's split. If you, for example, use more of the space and somebody uses less, how's that split? How's that accounted for? So definitely. And then change in circumstance. Maybe somebody needs to leave because of a change in career, or they're moving abroad or something, and that needs to be dealt with properly in an agreement separate from the lease agreement.
Yeah, it can be very tricky sometimes. Who does that yogurt belong to in the fridge? But it's not about that. What should then be non-negotiable in a co-leasing contract? Can people draw it up themselves? I guess better is to always seek professional advice in this respect.
Yeah, I think so. I think, firstly, the lease agreement, you need to go through that in detail, and all parties need to understand those responsibilities in terms of the lease agreement itself. Then secondly, your sub-agreement would need to relate to exactly that, financial obligations and how the payments are split between parties, the responsibilities for damages and deposits. We have had issues in the past where there's a dispute around the return of the deposit, who does it go to, the process of early termination between the parties, not just with the lease agreement, and the replacement of the party that's leaving on that lease agreement and their obligations towards the lease. So those certainly need to be dealt with. You can seek professional advice. Obviously, people avoid lawyers because they can sometimes be expensive, but it is important that you do have a document that everything's documented properly, and every party can be accountable to.
All right, that's co-leasing. Now let's talk about co-investing. And if I've read your statements correctly, you say that banks allow up to 12 people on a bond. But that surely cannot be practical. It must be a legal and even a financial minefield.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, again, this is a situation where, do you have the same investment outlook? Do you deal with the property in the same way? Do you deal with the returns, how the returns on that property dealt with? how the shortfalls dealt with in that property. So there's so many sort of ways to deal with this. And I think, again, with anything, the agreement ahead of time before you enter into these of how the funds are contributed, how they're distributed, and the responsibilities in relation to the management of that property and the investment is super important, that that's documented accurately and fully to make sure that the relationship and the responsibilities are clear.
And do that up front. So is there an optimum way then of structuring ownership? And perhaps more importantly, what happens if one partner wants to either cash out or defaults on their portion of the loan? Because then there could be fireworks.
So again, I think, in terms of ownership and how you invest into these mechanisms and what the structure is, really is sort of, something to sit down with the legal structuring expert to figure out. There are situations where they use P2R Limiteds and the memorandum of incorporation to really manage those relationships. But I think, again, an agreement around how, for example, like you said, defaulting, how's that dealt with, needs to be dealt with in that pre-agreement. If you default, this is what happens. This is where the shares go. This is where your portion exits. If you need to exit, what is that ability for you to get the capital out? If there's no liquidity in that investment. So I think, again, all of these things relate to that pre-agreement and all the parties aligning ahead of time before they enter into any arrangement.
Now, explain to me about multi-let properties, why they are attractive for investors and what the returns are like.
So the best way to describe a multi-let property is student letting. So people understand you take a three-bedroom flat and you rent it out to three individual tenants who share the communal areas. So that's the sort of simplest form of multi-let investment properties or multi-tenant investment properties. And that can go all the way from individuals to individuals that don't know each other, that live in the same space, all the way to families living in blocks or larger complexes. And it's really good for investors in particular because of your multi-tenanted structure and multiple people paying rent. It minimizes the risk that, because if you have one investment with one tenant and they don't pay, you don't get any rent. However, with multi-tenant properties, if you have 8 out of 10 tenants, you still at least have received 80% of your rental. So it's a diversification of risk. It's an increase in income because traditionally, those tenants do pay slightly higher premiums for their spaces.
So,
and it really works well from cash flow.
So, Grant, that's an interesting one. So, because I think you also point out that tenants in arrears are rising, and that is quite understandable against our economic backdrop right now.
Yes.
It would surely make shared models a lot riskier for landlords. Or the flip side to that, perhaps, is that the diversification maybe is one way of mitigating that risk.
Yeah, I think the diversification is the key element here. I think you sort of reduce your risk by having multiple tenants paying rental towards one property. So I think it is certainly a diversification. It's an increase in income from a cash flow perspective if all the tenants are paying. And it really is a model that I think works very, very well if you're looking to invest in property for the long term.
A regular guest on our program. No doubt we'll talk again in the future. Grant Smee, Chief Executive Officer of the Only Realty Property Group. Always good talking to you. Thank you.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.